Appreciate you singing this morning and the prayer, Brother Frank. I want to look at a verse this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. For the apostle said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You think about the life that we now live. It's amazing to think about God, how He's always been and always will be. How He had no beginning and how He has no ending. And how He's a God of love. And yet, at the same time, even though He's a God of love, He can hate. There's no way I can understand this morning how God created the heavens and the earth. He just did it by the word of His own power. He spoke it into existence. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He took dust and formed man. Unto that time, in my understanding, there was no man such as we are. God took dust and formed man and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And from this one man, we all are here today. For 6,000 years the earth has been multiplying. I know so few people on this earth today until it's really amazing. Sometimes you think you can go nowhere unless you see somebody you know. I remember one time, Hezekiah and myself was out from Atlanta one time, long, long years ago. We was going to stop at this restaurant and eat. And we decided this is one place we'll see nobody we know. And about the first thing, we ran into somebody we knew. I don't even remember who it was. But you know, this morning there is nobody God does not know. Now I know if you're a Bible reader, and you're going to turn around and ask me, well, what about Matthew 25, when the Lord says to the goats, finally, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. But I want to tell you, I believe God knows the goats, but He doesn't know them like He knows the sheep. He's going to have a conversation with the goats and the sheep in that day. He'll say to the sheep, come ye blessed of my Father. You know, if there's any such a thing as surprises, that would be a surprise to a lot of people in those days, in that day. Come ye blessed of my Father, not of your baptism, not of your acceptance of me, not of your belief, but come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. The seven things, he says there, that the sheep did. And they're going to say, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or naked and clothed thee, or sick and visited thee? Jesus was saying, as much as you've done it to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. He's going to say to the goats, I was hungry and you fed me not. I was sick and you visited me not. All of these things he says to the goats, and they're going to say, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee not, or sick and visited thee not, or naked and clothed thee not? Jesus was saying, as much as you did it not to the least of these my little ones, you did it not to me. See, the sheep do good things and not even realize it, seemed like. Now I realize sometimes people, if they do anything good, they want everybody to know it. They may even publish a book about it. It seems like for the most part, God's people, when they do good things, they don't even tell anybody about it. If the light is shining, as Brother Frank was praying this morning, most, I think, people are going to see it. And if you have a hope this morning in Jesus Christ, our Savior, usually, as far as I know, people will see your hope. You get around the sheep, God's people, and somewhere or another, they're going to talk about the goodness and mercy of God. You get around somebody that's always cursing God, and maybe even say they don't believe in God, and then they're calling His name. I tell you, I believe there's a God this morning.
Amen.
He's alive and He's well. I'm God, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob, you're not consumed. He's the reason today that we have a hope in Jesus Christ our Savior. It's not in myself. So Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know, I've heard a saying all my life that misery loves company. If you want to be miserable, you get around somebody who's miserable. They don't have anything to praise God for. Everything's going wrong in my life. Well, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter how bad things get here, the best is yet to come. I've had this old saying in my lifetime. People ask me how I'm doing. I say, half right. I don't even know what that means myself. I've been asked what it means. I said, I don't know. Just doing half right. But I'm going to tell you, all of my life, God has been good to me. What's He done for you? He gave me a hope in Jesus Christ, my Savior. I don't believe when you die, you're like the old dog Rover. You're just dead all over. That's all there is to it. I got my doubts. There's a heaven for dogs. If there is, it suits me fine. I don't believe the dogs will be biting in heaven. And I tell you something else. If you got anybody you want to bite, you need to bite them here, because you're not going to bite them in heaven. You got any evil you want to do, you need to do it here, because you're not going to do it in heaven. But I said, how do you know? Because we're going to have glorified bodies. You know how we know we're going to have glorified bodies? Because Romans 8 said we are. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Some people would never use that word predestinate, and we love it. It's hard for me to understand why we love it so well and others just can't seem to enjoy it. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, He justified. He be justified, He also glorified. That's the reason we know this morning we're going to be glorified. Only God can say something's coming to pass, and it come to pass as though it has never come to pass. If He said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. He's God, folks. And I'm going to tell you, if you're here at Coos Springs this morning, you're here in the right spirit, and I believe you are. God knows you're here. And I'm glad to see y'all. But I believe this morning that God would be pleased with you being at Coos Springs this morning. You don't have to go to church on Saturday. You don't have to go on Sunday. In fact, I just saw something in my Bible a little bit ago. I don't even know if I could find it or not. But it said something about... In every city in America, there are more people at home on Sunday than in church. That wouldn't surprise me one bit in the world. I heard this man on the radio the other day talking, and he was saying, in our church, we just have a small congregation. We only have about 250 people to come on Sunday. I thought to myself, if you think that's a small congregation, you ought to attend some of our churches. Just thrilled to death to be there with whatever comes. I'm going to tell you what I rejoice in this morning. It's God. It's God. It doesn't matter whether we're few or many as we look at it. Amen. His name is honored and praised among His people. Where two or three have gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Doesn't matter if you've got a problem with a brother or sister. If you all meet together in the name of Jesus, I believe you can work things out. And I reckon, as far as I know, two or three could gather here at Coos Springs and worship God in spirit and in truth. And we can have our lively hope. I don't have to be with you all this morning to have a lively hope. My hope is not dead. It's alive. You know what the Apostle Peter said? He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When Jesus died, they said, we'll go back fishing. They thought it's all over. How ignorant they had to be. I want to tell you, all they had to do was listen to what Jesus said. If Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. I actually believe this morning that God prepared a great feast to swallow Jonah. That must have been a terrible ride. You just try to visualize being swallowed by a fish. And for 3 days and nights, you can't die. You're alive in that fish's belly. I was in the funeral home here a while back, and the funeral director said, come here, I want to show you something. He pulled up this alligator, I reckon on his computer. It's amazing to be as old as I am and not even on the computer. I don't need one. I still know what 2 and 2 is. It's 4, I reckon. So he showed me this alligator. And a grown man they skint this alligator. Maybe I shouldn't tell you that this morning. But I couldn't believe this grown man, this alligator swallowed this grown man. I could see his shoes. It was like at least the alligator would have pulled his shoes off before he swallowed it. Only Jay, if an alligator can swallow a grown man, God can prepare fish to swallow a man, a grown man. And for 3 days and nights, Jonah's in the whale's belly. You know what he said? Salvation to the Lord, I will pay that that I bound. It pays to remember God. Doesn't matter if everybody else forgets Him, you remember Him. Remember the man saying, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. I want God to remember me. If I want Him to remember me, I should remember Him. It's no problem to think about God, is it? You just have to get everything else off your mind and think about God. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all been most miserable. I tell you what, when you get around somebody who's miserable, it'll usually show. You get around somebody who's happy, it usually shows. Don't you love to be around happy people? Somebody said, what is there to be happy about? You know what John Newton said? He said, when I'm happy in Him, December is as pleasant as May. I tell you what, it doesn't matter if the storms are blowing. The other night, the wind was blowing and the tornadoes in Mississippi and all around, and my weather radio woke me up about four times. Looked like to me I would have turned the thing off and just went back to sleep. But every time I'd go to sleep, the thing would wake me up again. I'd get up and listen to it and turn it off again, go right back to bed. What was I going to do if God sent a tornado through that? Somebody said, you got a storm shelter, haven't you? Yeah, but I've got I'm scared to go anything. Something blow against the door, can't get out. Then what if nobody ever finds me? I'll be there in the resurrection. Don't forget, and now we'll forget the last time my mother and I went down in that storm pit, and she was still living. We came out finally, no lights down there. I left her and go back up and look, see how the storm was, the weather was, and we finally got to the house, and she said, I'm not going back there anymore. Said, if the Lord won't, she can get you. I said, yeah, but maybe He's not after any certain one. I'm going to tell you, God will find you in the storm pit. Doesn't matter how deep it is in the ground. Doesn't matter how deep they bury you in the cemetery. God's going to call. Job said, thou shalt call, and I'll answer. Everybody here this morning answered in the first resurrection when you was born again. You wasn't born over, you was born again. Born in the family of God. I don't see anybody here that's not a child of God. If somebody here is not a child of God, raise your hand. I don't see a hand go up. Now, we may not know for sure that we are a child of God, but I can tell you one thing. Somewhere between a no-so and a hope-so, there is blessed assurance Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I wouldn't sell this hope I've got this morning for anything this world could ever afford. Not even for all that Walmart is worth. Somebody said, how much are they worth? I don't know. They probably don't even know what they're worth. But I saw something else in my Bible this morning. I wrote it down one time. They make $21,000 a minute. Pretty good income, is it not? So remember, every time you go to Walmart, you're helping them make $21,000 a minute. It's not going to make any difference in the resurrection. They won't be any richer in heaven than I'm going to be. You can't get any richer than I am this morning, folks. Look at me, how rich I am. I can still see. And if I couldn't see with my natural eyes, I could still be rich in Jesus. Y'all don't tell Milton Brown that I told you this, but I'm going to tell you. Every time I see Milton, he can't see anything. You know what he says to me? It's good to see you. No, I usually think, what do you mean? Yet I know what he's talking about. The man can't see here, but I can tell you who he's going to see when he gets to heaven. You know what Jesus can do? He can spit on the ground, make up clay of the spittle, and put it on a blind man's eyes and tell him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, you see. And the man did what Jesus told him to do, and the man could see. Now, people were curious in those days like we are now. You've been around anybody lately who just can't help but ask questions? It's none of their business. I like what one fella said one time. One fella asked another man something one day, and he said, if it was any of your business, you'd already know. That's a pretty good saying, is it not? Well, anyhow, they asked this man, how is it you see? He said, I don't know. Man who was called Jesus spat on the ground, made a clay of the spittle, and put it on my eyes, and I went and washed in the pool of Siloam, and now I see. They finally asked his mother and father. They said, he's of age, ask him. Well, I tell you, Jesus can do whatever he pleases. He has no desire to do anything wrong. He just does what's right. His work is perfect. He's the rock. He's too wise to make a mistake. I don't imagine Jesus ever sleeps or slumbers. You reckon he did? Not when he was here as a man. He was down in the ship one time asleep, and the storm was raging. It looked like the ship was going to sink. And they went down to wake him up and said, Master, care us not that we perish. He said, oh, ye of little faith. He just went up and spoke to the storm, and the storm was calm, and the sea was calm. They said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey? Don't you know if Jesus this morning can calm the wind and the storms, he can calm me? He does it all the time. I want to tell you something. If you got enough of nerve to get out there on that highway and trust an automobile and them other folks you're meeting, you sure to trust God. I saw two of you saying that. The rest of you know what I'm talking about. The lady sister this morning talking about the accident that they had. I tell you, these highways are dangerous. I want to tell you when we're going to be safe. When we all get to heaven, we're going to sing and shout the victory. Whatever's in heaven, there won't be any dangers there. You know what John Newton said about this life? He said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Something's going to get me out of the grave one of these days. Somebody said, how do you know you're going to be in there? Well, I'm going to tell you, if Jesus don't come back pretty quick, that's where I'm going to be. You know how I know? Because the days of our years are 70. That's only 70. I see several of you here this morning, pretty close to that. You mean I don't have any more? I tell you what, there's a lot of people who didn't have 70 years on this earth, folks, let alone 80. Amen. But you know what? We get feeble. You stay here for 70 years, and the first thing you know, you get feeble. I was somewhere the other day, and there's some good many people there. And I would notice these fellas, when they'd get up, they could hardly make it. I said, I know what's wrong with your knee. It's the same age you are. You ever heard of so many knee surgeries in your life? Thank the Lord they can do knee surgery. I want to tell you, in the resurrection, God's going to give us a body. The knees will never wear out. The eyes will never get dim again. Hair won't ever turn. Won't ever lose your hair. Can you imagine living in the paradise of God? Can you imagine seeing Jesus face to face? Being like him, David said, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That means I'm going to look like Jesus in heaven. I got my doubts about that. I tell you one thing, I don't believe there's going to be any beauty contest in heaven. Y'all ever hear about the person one time left home one day and come back later on? Somebody said, where you been? Said, I went to the beauty parlor, and said, it must not have been open. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is going to have his open in the resurrection. That'll be a day, a glorious day. As for me, David said, I shall behold thy face in the righteousness, I shall be satisfied. Can you imagine with satisfaction, eternal satisfaction? No hospitals. You know, they're talking about health care. Health care. You've been to a doctor lately and know what it costs to go to a doctor? I've been to Jesus Christ all of my life, as far as I can tell. Everything I've asked him for, he never sent me a bill of any kind. He just freely loves, and that without end. He takes care of me. He walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his very own. Bless me to find a dear old church here in this world. Has Cool Springs been a blessing to you all? Sure it has. You can't hardly wait to get here. I live inside of this building and just did get here by 11 o'clock this morning. But y'all can't imagine what all I had to do this morning. And I had to get to Trillin already. Get to church. I'm going to tell you, if I had children to get ready, I don't know if I'd ever get here or not. God is so good, is he not? Don't even have to hitch a mule to a wagon. Didn't have to get up this morning and milk the cows. Didn't have to feed the pigs. Didn't even have to feed the chickens. You know, there's a time when people did all of that and they still got to church. Some of them walked to church. I remember when I was a boy, there used to be an old brother lived back over here in this settlement long, way back there. Every Saturday morning you see him walking up the road. You know where he's coming? To Coos Springs Church. I'm talking about every first Saturday morning. Never complained or murmured one bit about it. Never heard him say his knees hurt. If they did, he just kept walking. You know where he was headed? He's headed to old Coos Springs, where he's going to hear about Jesus, he would hope. God is so good to us, folks. You know, just to be able to get up out of the bed this morning, isn't that a blessing? I already done mentioned about being blind. Being able to see, being able to hear, being able to talk. I think about my dad sometime for about the last 7 years of his life, couldn't even carry on a conversation. But I want to tell you what he did know. He knew God right on. Y'all remember the last time my dad ever came to Coos Springs one Sunday morning? A lot of you probably don't remember. He was sitting right over here. And he got up when Brother Cecil finished preaching that morning, and he wanted to say something. And God that day gave him that old voice he used to have long time ago. He just stood there for about 3 or 4 minutes and just preached Jesus and Him crucified. You know what we said? A lot of us said we believe that's the last time he'll ever go to church, and it was. Somehow or another, God just sends signs. You can just feel it. You can just see it somehow or another. But I want to tell you, next time I see my dad, I believe he can talk. I don't believe he'll have a broken hip anymore. You just imagine my life this morning cut me down all of a sudden. Get in your car every day and ride. If you want to go see somebody, you can. And all of a sudden, I'm cut down. I can't ever drive anymore. I tell you, it can be nerve-wracking, folks. But God can comfort us. If He doesn't comfort us, we're in serious trouble. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. How in the world can God raise all the dead from the last 6,000 years? Just by His voice. The reason I know He can. John 5:25 says, "The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." You know what that's talking about? When you was born again. That's not talking about the dead in the cemetery, because you skipped 2 verses and He said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Everybody's coming out of the grave. I walked out here in the cemetery last week. My nephew was out there cutting the grass, and I just stopped and walked out in the cemetery. It is amazing how many people have gone in that cemetery since I was a little boy. But you know what? With them, I believe they just went to sleep. They're sleeping Jesus. And it's a peaceful sleep. The storms, clouds won't bring them out. But the voice of the Son of God one of these days is going to call, and we're going to answer. And you know what is amazing to me? It's going to be in a moment, twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is the victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, listen to Paul. "Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye load that your work, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." God's not forgetful, forget your work of labor and love. Did you do anything good this week? God saw it. Did you do anything wrong this week? God saw it. Aren't you glad He's a forgiving God? Aren't you glad He doesn't go around town telling everything He knows? Probably with some folks, they tell more than they know.
Amen.
I just want the folks know what's good about me, if there is anything good. Somebody said there can't be anything good about you, because Romans 3 says there is none good. I know He's talking about in the first Adam. But I want to tell you, If Jesus died on that cross for you, Hebrews 10 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, set apart." You can't improve upon God's perfection. If he perfects us, somebody said, "You don't look like you're perfect yet." No, I'm not yet, but I will be one of these days, and you can't keep me from it, and I can't either. We're going home, folks, one of these days. Going to a city where we'll never grow old, where the roses never fade. You know, I think sometimes I would just love to live. I'd just love to have my place fixed up with a lot of flowers and shrubbery, and just a beautiful place. And when y'all go by, you say, "Look at that, what a nice place Franklin lives in." Don't he keep it up nice? I guarantee you, when most of you arrive today, you say, "Look like he would do something to that place." But folks, I'm going to tell you something. When I get to heaven, everything's going to be all right. I won't have to worry about a thing. And neither will you. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.